All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. Bingo. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
I like that Tyler's wearing a Jays jersey today. Baseball's back. Tyler's excited. Delicious.
We heard himself.
What happened there?
Is it a shock?
Got a big shock.
Yeah.
Roadcaster.
Strikes back.
Doesn't want you fucking around with it. It knows that you were fiddling before.
Yep.
Oilers Nation Radio, episode 183. Bag Milk, Rick, Dan, and Tyler. We're all here. Break down the week that was for our beloved Edmonton Oilers. But first, we have to start off with a delicious debate for our friends at Oodle Noodle. 16 locations, more coming. Fort Saskatchewan, they're coming for you. Airdrie, Aaron Ridge, Kingsway. Get yourself some nudes. I had some the other day. Hotbox, crushed it.
Did you keep one to put in the air fryer the next day?
No, I actually just murdered the whole box.
That's fair.
Nice.
Sometimes you got it.
Yep.
I still haven't actually air fried nudes leftovers, Tyler.
Delicious.
It's very good.
I bet they would be.
Yeah, I think
a little crisp.
The only problem for me is as I grow and become a bigger boy, my appetite grows. So one box isn't enough for two meals anymore.
Wait a minute. When what is your order now? So this is, I would do one box as two meals, but what I would do is
I get double beef.
So I would get my box, but then I would also get spring rolls and green onion cakes.
Mm. Have to.
So then I would save half of the box for the next day.
Okay. That's fine. I always have to get a box because I do get the green onion cakes and the spring rolls.
Yeah.
And you kill those first and you're like, well, this is going to be reheated.
So now what's the order, Tyler?
Green onion cakes.
Yeah.
And Tokyo glazed double beef.
Oh, nice. Good for you.
And now I eat all of that.
All of it.
General Sonny's chicken.
General Sonny's chicken is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. That's the pick every time for me.
Shout out to Oodle Noodle. Tyler, what is the delicious debate this week?
I'm changing it up on you guys.
Yes.
We talked about doing something else, but now I'm doing something different.
Okay. Yes.
Predict the Pacific Division standings and wild card spots.
Oh, come on, man.
I don't even know what teams are in our division.
So, okay. So I've got it up right now. So currently in the Pacific, as of today, March 11th, the Flames, number one.
Yep.
Los Angeles, number two. Yegas, number one, three. Wild cards are Nashville, 70 points. They've played 57 games.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas next up. They played 56 game. They've got 66 points. Right following there is our beloved Edmonton Oilers, 58 games played, 66 points. So I'm going to say the Pacific will go Calgary, LA, Edmonton. Wild cards will be Nashville and Vegas. How do you feel about that?
So Dallas misses in your scenario.
Yeah. Yep. Because they just lost
Heiskanen.
That's a big blow. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to cool off a little bit.
Yeah.
What's your take?
I am going to say, Calgary won, obviously. I'm going to go.
That annoys me so much.
Yeah, it does.
Well, and there's one thing too, like while Tyler's putting his math together, you see how valuable OTLs are with how things are playing out right now. And the fact that the Oilers have lost in regulation more than the OTLs is just, it's making all the difference at this point.
And that's why I actually think LA might be in a bit of trouble here. Because they got a lot of OTLs. Like they only have one more win than the Oilers and they're 5 points ahead of them somehow. I'm going to say LA slips. And
so you got Calgary one,
Calgary, Edmonton, LA, Vegas grabs wildcard two, and wildcard one will be Dallas. Nashville misses.
Okay. So you've got Edmonton finishing second.
I do actually. Yeah.
I like that.
I think when you look at the schedule coming up here, you know, the Oilers play Tampa Saturday. They play Tampa well, and then it gets pretty easy next week. And they also have two head to heads against the LA Kings, a head to head against Vegas, head to head against Dallas, head to head against Nashville. There's a lot of opportunities for them to get hot.
I don't remember what's the season series with LA right now.
Is it 1-1?
Is that what it is? Well, you're looking at it.
Yeah, Dan, it's 1-1.
Dan, what's your standings for the Pacific / wildcard?
Well, I'm with Tyler on that. I think that the Kings are going to fall off. I also think that the Flames are just too hot to continue at this pace. And as April approaches, their scoring seems to dwindle. So I'm going to say Vegas turns it on here, finishes in first still. Calgary not too far behind them, and then Edmonton right behind Calgary with LA in fourth. Does that work? I don't really care about the teams that aren't in the playoffs.
You need one more. Who's the other wildcard team?
I think that the Central is bringing the other wildcard. It's either Dallas, Nashville, like pick your choice there.
Rick, what do you got?
I don't think Vancouver's coming anywhere close to the picture.
Although Vancouver's only 2 points behind the Oilers right now, but that's a different problem entirely. Rick, what do you got?
Embarrassed with this part. I'm just going to say I concur with first place. I'm not going to say anything more than that.
We're going to Calgary March 26th. Come with us.
Yeah. And you know what? Actually losing that one game isn't the end of the world because I didn't think we're going to go 4-0 against them, but we'll probably go 3-1. Therefore they're going to win while we're there. So I had to say, you know what? Thank you very much for that.
That'd be nice. Backside tours. Go check it out.
We're going to take two. Vegas's injuries, they're going to drop a bit. I got the Kings sticking out third, and you're going to have Vegas, and you're going to have, I think Winnipeg might be too far off by now. Dallas is running into some injuries right now, so we'll take Nashville and Vegas in the wild card, and then Edmonton 2, LA 3, and that's all I want to say.
Tyler, what are you typing on over there? You're typing very quickly.
Do you actually really want to know?
Yeah.
He's like checking into something.
Uploading a YouTube video for Daily Faceoff.
Okay. Vegas has got some injuries right now, Tyler. Yes.
They do.
What's going on?
I'm actually uploading a video that's Frank talking about the injuries Vegas is facing.
What has Frank got for us?
So Frank has reported that Robin Lehner is a torn labrum. Robin Lehner is now apparently back in Vegas and on crutches because he has a groin issue.
Crutches, yeah.
So he now is dealing with two injuries. Riley Smith is back in Vegas as well, a top six forward for them out. They already have Mark Stone on LTIR. Yeah. They already have Alec Martinez on LTIR. Braden McNabb is on normal injured reserve. They're missing Janmark and Nolan Patrick as well. They are missing a lot of regulars. Like if you think the Oilers have injury problems, Vegas is probably has it a little worse right now, potentially, I suppose, whichever way you look at it.
Well, and I was going to say too, Tyler, like I'm a part of some Facebook groups for the Vegas fans, and man, is the sky falling in that fan base right now.
Good. It's too much fun. Good. Fuck you.
And Frank dropped an interesting little nugget at the end of the Daily Faceoff show in regards to the head coach, Pete DeBoer, and his safety. And I mean, listen, we know the new coach, huh?
Or lack of?
Yeah, lack of safety, lack of security. And Frank hinted, you know, man, maybe they play Pittsburgh tonight. Pittsburgh's playing really well. And Vegas is going to be starting Logan Thompson. They lost to Buffalo yesterday. Like that Vegas team is in trouble.
Good. I'm glad they're in trouble.
How do they keep changing coaches as much as they have as an organization that's had little to no failure?
Yeah. But I mean, honestly, maybe Vegas, that organization is just due for a little bit of failure.
They could use a good dose of failure.
They could. And like you said, Dan, I'm like tired of how much fun they're having. Fan base.
I'm tired of how much fun they're having.
their schedule too, like they get Pittsburgh tonight, then okay, they go Columbus, then Winnipeg, but they get Florida next week. They go Florida, LA, Minnesota on a 3-game run. That's not enough. Easy.
Man, scoreboard watching is stressful.
Are you watching?
Yes.
Oh yeah. 100%. I was glued to that Vegas-Buffalo game last night.
So you're watching the game, though. Are you cheering for a team?
Yes, cheering. Yes,
I was cheering for Buffalo actively last night.
So I thought about this yesterday. And I was like, I can't bring myself to cheer for a team because I feel like somehow karma is going to come back and make us lose because of it.
I could see that, too, because the hockey guards have not been kind to us.
No, I feel like they like to kick us.
We treat them with kid gloves, maybe.
For like decades, they've just kicked us.
Forget karma. Math is all that matters. And mathematically, an Oilers win means... you know, maybe a little bit more than these teams losing, but like, it's not that far off. Like Vegas losing is just as impactful as the Oilers winning.
And you are passionate for math.
Mm-hmm. I love math.
But I was actively cheering for Buffalo last night. I'm not 100%.
I'm actively cheering for Pittsburgh tonight.
Yeah. In fact, I've put money on Pittsburgh to win on the money line tonight.
Me too.
That's fair. I just don't want to use up all my good luck on
Does that count losses. As cheering for if I've bet on them, in which case I have a vested interest in that game now?
No, because we do this a lot of playoffs over the last couple decades. I'm not cheering for a team, but I am cheering for another team to lose. So I just want to see negatives out of one team, and I don't care what happens to the other team. I understand that for one to happen, the other has to happen, but I want to see one team lose.
Ultimately, I'm cheering for my bank account.
Yeah.
Dan, what do you think? Are you scoreboard watching?
I'm not very good at watching other teams for the scoreboard watching, but I do check the scoreboard every night, of course, with hockey fights. And I just kind of mentally give that little plus one or that minus one when you see a victory or a loss that goes for or against you. And it's always nice when you end the night up one or more in these matchups, like you said. But I'm not with you guys yet in watching those games actively and cheering for the Sabres.
Like, we're getting close to magic number territory. That's when the math really gets confusing for me. So
especially in hockey.
Yeah, it's
but
never so high still.
Well, I was going to say, Bag Milk, I think you did find the gray area there, though, by putting a little bit of vested interest into the game. It gives you that single event, you know, where you can just say, hey, it's all about the money and it's all about the bank.
If you're listening, please leave a review if the Bagged Milk random button hits are annoying or funny.
There's or no funny. Way anybody's going to say they're annoying.
You should make a...
Actually, that's why I kept saying delicious today, Tyler. That's an
absolute joke, is what it is.
You should create a voting situation on Twitter, and I think people are going to find it funny.
Probably.
We're on it.
This is one of those is Chris thick kind of situations.
Yeah. Yeah, and as we knew, we found out Chris was not thick. 60% said not thick. That
what were we talking about?
A rough day for him.
Scoreboard watching. We should have someone on the social media team every day do a graphic of like, here's who you're hoping, here's who you're cheering for tonight. Oh. See, that's playoff race fun, Rick.
I understand that, but I get so invested in this. Like we've entered the point of the year where it like hurts my stomach to watch the Oilers. Win, lose, or draw, I'm going into the game. My stomach's turning. I'm worried. I'm nervous. You know, you really can't eat. It's part of sports. I get it. I'm ready to be there. But to add on to it by watching other games and like having a vested interest more than just like in the back of my head, I know what I want to see. But to get like, to put it out there again, like I like to think of myself as a player and like, get up, we're just doing shift by shift here. As long as my game is good, I'm not worrying about the other games. Obviously, I want things to work for us, but I need to keep my eyes on the next game here.
What Rick is saying is for every Oilers game, he puts his heart out on the line and he says, I'm ready to be hurt again. But on night offs, he's not ready to do that. And I get it.
I lost that thing back in like 06. It's somewhere. It's
cold and dead
I don't know where it is anymore. It's pushing up roses somewhere.
And just quickly while we're on the playoff picture, I also think it's really important for the Oilers to get one of those divisional spots. Like I would much rather play Vegas or LA in round one than have to go up against the fucking Avs, who might add like Claude Giroux still.
I think that, I find that to be more problematic to think that way than cheering for other teams to lose because just get in.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
Just get in and who knows what can happen.
Such not well, the yeah, roster but... of just get in anymore. This is so frustrating. We're back here again.
Yes, I agree with
it
you.
It is.
But
it is where we are.
You hear what Tyler's saying just because of the strength of that Central Division. There is a murder's row of teams that you'd have to go up against.
I'm looking there. I'm looking at number one in the Pacific, and I'm saying we just played them. We beat them twice this year. We just played them. Wasn't the greatest game.
It was special teams. Teams lost that game for the Oilers.
And what were we missing?
Nuge, Puljujarvi.
Bouchard.
Berry. Like, we're missing, like, two, and I know I hate calling him a top four defense, and he's not, but you have Bouch, who's a top four. You got Berry, who's whatever he is.
He shoots right.
Yeah. And you got two forwards who technically are top six forwards, unless, you know, you start to even things out again. We were missing a lot in that game.
That's why I'm saying, like, the Oilers not just making the playoffs, but grabbing a Pacific Division spot is important, because if your playoff route is LA Calgary in the first two rounds, I don't mind that.
Dude, oh man, like a series against Calgary is such a double-edged sword.
Yep.
Like, man, does it sound fun. Boy, would everything just be the greatest. But when the game's not on, my stomach would be doing like Simone Biles just doing like somersaults everywhere.
We need it though. We as a fan base need to have a battle.
Can we just get like, an easy four game sweep over some shit team for once?
No, you need that DVD, that Stanley Cup DVD has to have all the storylines that you can create, right? In 2006, every round had an exciting storyline behind it. And now we should have the exact same.
But at least like Anaheim was a five game, you know, San Jose was technically a sweep after they were up 2-0 on us.
Early look at the voting. Do you like when Bag Milk pushes random buttons on Oilers Nation Radio or not? 55% say yes. 40% say screw you, Tyler.
What? How are those the two options?
Well, no, there are three options. There's
I don't know which one to vote for now.
There's 5% that say no.
Can you do A and C?
Yeah, like I think that's the move. So right now, currently 55% yes, 5% no, 40% screw you, Tyler. So
the big guy is smoking hot.
Thank you. And there you go. There's your oodle noodle delicious.
Debate. Someone else says it's also fun on Better Late delicious. Than Never because Tyler can't yell at you.
That's right. I push a lot of buttons on Better Late Than Never. I have my own soundboard and I like it. Makes me happy.
Do you think he yells at you while he's like listening to it?
No way he listens to my podcast.
It would drive me nuts.
Yeah, it would.
How do you guys find time to listen to all these podcasts? Is it when you're like sitting down writing articles and stuff?
I don't listen to a lot.
I listen to a lot.
I don't sit down ever. Like, it's just not really in my life.
I listen to a lot of podcasts and audiobooks when I'm driving. I listen to a lot of that shit when I'm driving. I don't really listen to radio.
I listen to a lot of AM radio while I drive.
So that's just it. Like, yeah. I have almost a schedule. And it's usually all 12:60, except for between 12 and 2, which I have to go to 6:30.
You guys are doing AM radio. I'm listening to podcasts. That's all.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know,
today I felt like my life was a podcast. We had DFO Rundown.
Your life is a highway.
DFO Rundown was from 7 to 8 this morning.
Q-corn.
All night long.
Then there was the live show. Then I did a Jay's pod. And then we actually interviewed Luke Robitaille for the DFO Rundown on Monday. We crushed that out today.
Did you ask him anything about the Blue Jays?
Robitaille?
Yeah.
Should have.
Oh, I don't know how you didn't.
Him and Gregor?
Is he?
I don't know, but you're like, dude, you're jacked up about baseball.
I didn't do the interview. Actually, while that interview was happening, I was doing an interview on the radio on 1260. So I wasn't even really listening.
Unbelievable.
But
I'm texting Gregor.
But when I hop back into the interview to listen in, Gregor and Robitaille were talking about some old French TV show that was about a hockey team.
Yes.
And the two of them were
like, a cartoon?
No, like an actual show. Do you know what it is, Bag Milk? I think it was like the translation. No, it was the translation of like he shoots, he scores.
Oh, it's probably on like channel 12. So it's probably on the French station.
It's an old show, but Gregor and Robitaille both remembered it.
They were probably watching the hockey sweater.
Probably.
That's probably what it was.
I don't remember what it's called. Anyways.
It was the hockey sweater.
But Gregor always lived on like a farm, right? So he had like three channels and one of them had to be the French channel. So that's why he had to like watch that.
Gregor started the interview with Robitaille by going, you're like, we're coming up to the trade deadline. Now, I remember when you got traded the first time, Luke, because it was on my brother's 21st birthday. I was like, what an odd way to start this interview.
Wow.
That's an odd fact, though.
I remember the day I got my N64 because it was the day Todd Marchant scored in game 7 in overtime. How do you feel about that?
That's an odd fact.
That must have been very difficult for you.
That is a very good day for young Bag Milk.
It would have been tough though around 7 o'clock because you're all in on the game and everything's so new and but then you got the Oiler game comes on, which, you know, you get split in two at that point.
I was playing Mario Kart. It was wonderful. Shout out to Mario Kart. Wario is my guy, Dan. Just thought you'd like to know.
Grant Ledyard. Way to turn.
Wario is your choice?
At that time, yeah. As a 12-year-old, yeah, I liked Wario.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Grant Ledyard, he still hasn't turned around.
Oh, he's still falling over.
Yep. Do you think Ryan McLeod has got a little bit of Todd Marchant in him?
They got a player in this guy, man.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, McLeod's legit. He thinks the game really well. Fact. His ability to get into the offensive zone, and he does that thing, right, where he flies up the wall, and the defenseman always misses him.
He gets skinny against the board. Yeah. And somehow miss him every time. I mean, he's not a thick dude, but yeah.
No, just the way he moves and his ability to always seemingly make the right decision with the puck on a stick in his own end. Like, they got a player here. Ryan McLeod's going to be around for a while.
He's Connor on the second power play, man. He's the drop pass guy.
I wonder what his offensive ceiling is once he starts getting at bats in, like, feeling comfortable. Was he a 20 goal guy?
I think he can be.
I think that's fine. What do you think for points though?
I think he's a 20, 40.
I think he's a 20, 35 guy. Yeah. Like 55 point range.
Yeah.
And he'll give you good honest third line minutes.
I was wondering, like, does he become a winger that then becomes a utility guy for them? And because like when you see him with Connor and Leon, he doesn't look out of his depth just because of the speed element, really.
And he goes especially into the corners.
Especially if they're gonna stack him, like Connor, Leon, Nuge.
Yeah.
Throw him up there, why not? Got wheel.
Yeah, but it gives you so much versatility, right? Like you can mix things around when you have him with the ability to play center. Nuge can play center. Dreisaitl can play the wing sometimes if you want him to. Like, just so many pieces that can move around. That gives you a lot of dangerous options.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Would you get a Ryan McLeod jersey?
I would. What do you think? Here's a question. What's his next deal look like?
I don't think it'd be expensive.
When is his next deal?
Well, he's an RFA at the end of the season, so.
Oh, he's going to be like 1.5 or something.
But do you look long-term? Are you going 1 year?
I would try to do as long as possible. Yes. Stuff too.
I'm down with that. I the smartest thing the Oilers organization ever did was go exactly 7 years of Klefbom. So.
And what, so was that Cali Yarncroke? That was him. And he signed a 6-year deal back in 2016. So that would have been, 7 years ago. He would have been 25 years old. So a little bit older, but he signed a 6-year deal at $2 million per. And he's just a good solid bottom sixer for the Preds at the time. Like, I wonder if there's that kind of deal out there with McLeod. I doubt it. It'd be unlikely.
If I'm McLeod, I don't want that. But if I'm the Oilers, I'm pushing for it.
Yeah. Like 6 years by 2.5.
That's a super team.
Sign him right now.
And that's why I'm saying, like, his agent goes, you're not taking that.
God. It would bring him
like half of that.
Like, the incentive for him would be brings him right to UFA. Maybe it'd be a 5-year deal then, right? So McLeod could be sitting there going, let's say it's 5 by 2.5 per. That's going to be 12.5 million. It brings him right to unrestricted free agency. If you're a guy playing on a super skilled offensive team like the Oilers, where you know you're going to get chances, I'd be sitting there as a young guy going, you're going to guarantee me $12.5 million and I could potentially rack up the numbers and be a UFA as early as possible.
Or you rack up the numbers on a 2-year deal and then you sign another one for more money.
But again, so that 2-year deal is only going to be for like 1.25 per season, right?
Are you betting on yourself?
But the last 4 years can take you north of the 12 when you look at the 6. Yep.
Are you betting on yourself or do you want the guarantee?
But he would still be an RFA, even though he'd have Arbrights at that point. He'd still be an RFA. So maybe he's...
If he's putting up points and goals, though, even as an RFA, he still can put the boots to the Oilers if he wants.
You got to ask yourself, when do you think the cap's going to go up? When do you think salaries are going to start going up? So if it's like
4 or 5 years, probably. So again, if you're McLeod, you're going to guarantee me $12.5 million and I get to be a UFA when the cap starts going up. That'd be a great scenario for a young player.
You're saying 3 more years before we get some sort of cap relief and we keep spending our money again?
Yes.
Probably. I think Tyler's right.
This is the worst.
They haven't even started paying back the escrow.
I understand that, but
Ken Holland had a lot of money to spend this year and he did nothing with it. I mean, he did a lot with it, but not a lot. That makes sense.
It's disheartening.
Anyway, delicious debate. Oodle noodle. How's
that?
16 locations.
All of our guys in there.
Delicious.
Everybody
delicious.
Loves it.
That's upsetting.
Yeah. We can get more Tyler Yaremchuk math on that as we get closer to those times.
I did my math right. 5 by 2.5 would be 12.5 million.
No, we're talking about the bigger dogs, the big dogs.
Mm. Someone on my Oilers Nation live thing the other day asked me, what do you think Bouchard's next deal is? Do you try to go Clefbaum route with
Bush? I would,
yes, because you're in the midst of what happens if you just bridge too much.
Yes, yes, yes. You do the Clefbaum deal with Bouchard because he's already leading your team in points.
So 7 by 4.65, do you do it?
Right now.
Yes. 8 by 4.65.
Sure.
Stack him up.
Next year, he's running. Oh, sorry, he's not running, but he's going to be the power play guy. His points are only going to go up.
If you can offload Barry, I think you'd do it in a heartbeat. You just say, what's the long-term deal look like? But again, does Bouchard take that?
I just think that you keep saying trade Barry, but I don't think anybody wants Barry.
There's
rumors that he has, there is, yeah. Like, I don't know if it was you who said it. Maybe I heard it on the radio or something like that, but there is value out there for Barry.
I don't think there's value out there for Barry, but I think you could offload him. There's a difference.
Rick heard it from Tyler and Tyler heard it from Rick.
Yeah. there's people out there that would trade for him. I don't know if you're getting a lot for him, but I think at this point, just give me a guy who can play a solid 12, 13 minute.
Give me a fourth round
defensive guy who shoots right.
They need.
I'll take your fourth round too, but then we have a bit of an issue ourselves.
Yeah, you got money.
I can't stop thinking about what our defense would look like and feel like if the right side went Larson, CeCe, Bouchard. That'd be so much better. I mean, it can't work obviously because Larson left and blah, 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 but you know.
Or if the left side of our blue line was Nurse, Clefbaum, and whoever.
I don't think the Oilers get enough sympathy from other people
for the loss.
That they just lost two of their best defensemen for nothing.
And like through really no fault of their own, like Clefbaum not being able to play isn't on the Oilers. Larson not wanting to be here anymore for the reasons he didn't want to be here anymore.
That's not on the Oilers.
Like that is the one area where you do need to give your right Ken Holland a little bit of a break and some sympathy is like, that was a very high end second pairing that they had. Mm-hmm. And it's just withered away.
And Barry was never going to be here if Larson left or did not leave.
I don't get that gamble. Even with Larson gone.
He went with something familiar, something he knew, somebody who was capable of playing some sort of minutes because he saw it last year. And it was a bit of a gamble, kind of like the goaltending situation. It's kicked him in the ass again this year.
That CeCe signing looks great though.
Yep.
Maybe not great, really solid.
Getting one good year out of him for sure. Mm-hmm.
Do you like when Bag Milk pushes random buttons on Oilers Nation radio? Update. 43% say yes.
Ooh, dropping.
12% say no. Mm. 45 say screw you, Tyler. So.
The big guy is smoking hot.
Do I have an image problem? Yeah. Let's dissect this.
I think so. You are the anti-fun. Like
that's probably good for your podcast, our Bag Milk. You can sit down and maybe put them on a couch and just kind of have like a deep dive into who is.
Would you like Tyler another walkthrough on Better Late Than Never where we can just really dig into it, like a 3-hour episode?
Not really about sports.
Yeah, just about
but like
me.
Lay down and then, you know, and let the doctor do his thing.
I just don't know when it took this turn.
Around Jim Brown?
No, I was pretty happy on the no, I got pretty grouchy towards the end of my radio days too.
Well, Jim Brown was at like the beginning of your radio days.
That was like a month into it. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah.
I feel like it's with your betting, buddy. When your betting is on a high, you are a very happy dude. When it's fade your M-Chuck time, that's when the rage and the anger just comes.
Boy, isn't that the number one sign of addiction?
Just degenerate hood. That's all.
By the way, since we're talking, I just want to say hi to DoorDash. Hello. I'm going to be using you a little bit later, your service later, because it's Friday. I don't want to cook. I've worked enough this week. So ding dong, DoorDash. Hello. Maybe I'll even order some oodle noodle. There you go. Tie it all together. I want to go back to the schedule for a second because we were talking about it. Saturday, Tampa. Tampa just lost to Calgary last night.
And the game before.
Detroit, Buffalo, New Jersey. I see nothing but opportunity in this 4-game run. Tampa is not playing their best. Last time the Oilers played them very well, could not get a save. Mikko's back in tomorrow. He's already been confirmed as a starter.
Thank you.
I think that's a good move. Makes sense to me. Yeah. How many points would you be happy with over these next 4 games? Again, that's Tampa, Detroit, Buffalo, New Jersey. I'm saying I want 7 or 8. Maybe I'm just selfish.
That's not selfish. I mean, part of it is where we are right now. And obviously they're in a bit of a pickle. You need to put together some wins here to make sure you can get into the playoffs. I'm a six. I think that's reasonable. It's kind of what I want. And that leaves us with maybe a disappointing overtime loss. And then just, you know, a really good game against Tampa Bay where maybe we push them past 60 and doesn't go our way.
Dan, four big games coming up for the Oilers. Tough one on Saturday against Tampa. Then again, Detroit, Buffalo, New Jersey. How many points do they need to get from this four game set?
Well, the need part changes it a little bit for me. I think that as a team, they would be okay to get, you know, the five or six that you expect from a run of that many games. But yeah, with this team right now and seeing how they went out and shot the puck a bunch yesterday, if they keep doing that, then I say that they'd have to get six or more. Because if you're coming out and you're shooting the puck like Brad Malone did last night.
Don't worry, we're going to get to it.
2 nights ago.
I know. We're itching to get there. I'm waiting.
Dan's been celebrating.
Dogs are chomping at the bit to get into the mix. He's been celebrating
so long, he doesn't even know what day it is.
I honestly, dude, I was almost happier for you than I was for Brad Malone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's, and I appreciate that. And it's fun to watch a guy like this get his moment. We can get to that in a minute though. I'm just saying with this team, with that shoot first mentality, having a period like they did that first period, if they continue to do that, this team has to come out with 6, 7, or 8 more points.
Yeah. Because very few goalies can do what Samsonov did to us that night. That was ridiculous.
Exactly. I just want to get this on my chest a little. Samsonov played great.
Yep.
He also got incredibly lucky. Yep. Sure. There were a couple moments in that game. How many times did the Oilers put a puck behind his legs?
Yeah.
Yep. Like that was fucking hilarious.
Through the crease.
If I'm a Caps fan watching that, on one end, I'm like, yeah, you know, he stopped 36 of 40. That's a good stat line. On the other end, I'd be sitting there being like, oh my God, he did not inspire much confidence in me.
So if that was Mikko getting that type of a game, we'd be sitting there going, oh, Mikko is doing Mikko things.
It was like the game where Smith played against Carolina, where his stat line was good, but there was a bunch of saves where you sat there and were like, ooh, what the hell? But anyways, they very well could have beaten the Capitals 6-2 in that hockey game.
Totally. Oh, yeah. So there's a couple of things from the Caps that I want to get to specifically, but Tyler, if you're looking at this next four game set, how many points do I need?
He's texting.
Six. You need six. Yeah. I think that's gotta be the magic number.
How many do you think they get?
Eight.
Ooh.
I like this. I think we're going to look back. I'm in an optimistic mood today. Part of it is I'm trying to change my image.
Are you drunk? Have you been drinking?
I have not been drinking.
What's in that water bottle?
You know, Tampa not playing great hockey. Oilers on Saturday nights have been pretty good this year, save the last one against Montreal. And then you get Detroit, Buffalo, New Jersey. I think we'll look back on this homestand at the end of the year and be like, damn, that was the homestand that saved the season. Because they're going to rattle off five straight. They'll go out on the road to Colorado, Dallas, lose them both, and we'll be sitting there going, hey, they're not screwed because that homestand was electric.
That's deadline day too, right?
Deadline day in Colorado and then the next day in Dallas.
So I'm just saying, start listening to Tyler's picks now, because this positive Tyler, it's going to give him a new mindset.
I went 3 for 3 last night, so giddy up.
Do you think anybody leaves the roster in Colorado? Do you think there's any chance, because it's deadline day, that we'll get a soft roster because a couple of guys were moved out? Nobody got here in time. Obviously couldn't get there in time.
No, I don't think so. I think if it is, it's like a JT Comfer or someone lower in the lineup. Like they're not making a big enough splash.
And didn't we not do this a couple years ago where there was no games on deadline day?
I think they did actually.
And is this like a COVID thing where everything's like condensed a bit again? Mm-hmm.
But either way, this homestand, you got to take advantage of these easy matchups. Like your next, after Tampa, your next four home games are Detroit, Buffalo, New Jersey, San Jose. Your three road games in that span are Colorado, Dallas, Calgary. Yikes.
That Calgary is going to be like a home game though, with the whole Oilers Nation there.
You look at the schedule and you see those teams like that. I look at it as opportunity where if you want to beat the best, you got to beat the best.
Hell yeah. I'm just saying they can make life easier for themselves. If they beat these teams.
When I look at this though, is fucking Chicago and Montreal.
Yes.
That's fair.
Chicago times two.
Oh, like that's so frustrating. And of course, give me all the big teams because that's when they step up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you had to have noticed a little sparkle in the eye of 97 and 29 after that overtime goal.
Ride or die.
Come on now.
Connor calling Leon his ride or die, just, it made my heart so happy. Both of them are missing teeth. Both of them are fucking looking good.
Tell me you don't want Leon to go buy the house next to him.
They should. And they should still sleep on bunk beds.
Done.
Sorry, Lauren and Celeste.
Oh,
you guys are out. We're bunk bed bros now.
Or like bunk beds on game days.
Yeah.
So that they can like, you know, the night before a game, they can like lay up and be like,
they're playing some,
how do you think we're going to score tomorrow?
Are they playing some vids, having snacks?
And Jay Woodcroft has to live with them and tell them to go to bed.
Matching jammies.
Someone's going to watch them. They're going to be up all night talking.
Matching jammies the whole thing.
Tired the next game.
I like it. Or they're playing guilty because they're tired because they were playing, vids all night.
Chell. Playing some Chell.
Maybe they were just Clash of Clannin, you know?
Building some sweet bunk beds.
Same clan. I don't know. Anyway, I want to talk about the game against Washington because I thought, from an Oilers perspective, that was the best game they've played at home in quite some time. 60 minutes of effort. Had it not been for weird officiating and a lot of luck by Samsonov. Well, I mean,
weird
to be polite. I thought that was one of the best games the Oilers played.
That non-call on Zach Hyman goes down as...
That's one of the worst non-calls that I've seen.
Which one? The first hook or the second hook?
Ovi was fucking water skiing,
dude. And that was
how was that not even an automatic goal?
That was a night. It should have been an automatic goal. That was a breakaway empty net. That's a goal. It should have been a goal. I was yelling. I was almost broke my hand hitting the top of the bar. Yeah. You guys know exactly who I am. How that's not going to surprise anybody here. I was pissed, man.
Like I was super pissed.
I don't get it. There's been so many flubs with officiating all year. That's gotten all sorts of attention. You'd think at one point these guys are like all in, and we saw it last night too. Like yeah. I will come out and say like the Ovechkin one was worse.
Terrible.
Last night's was bad.
Well, that's what we needed though, Rick, is we needed Toronto to be affected by this. And now the Toronto media is bringing up the Zach Hyman hook from 2 days before.
Now here's my question though. If Connor or Leon did exactly what Matthews did in terms of get hooked, not hustle back, take your mouth guard out, yell at the ref, still not hustle back, put your mouth guard back in, still not go to the guy.
So
and
funny.
Then they get scored on. Do you not think that Leon and Connor are being told these guys are, they don't play two way, blah, blah, whatever that bullshit
play till
is.
The whistle, all that
like
shit.
It was, all of it.
He took his mouth guard out. Like he literally could have caught up easily.
Easily.
He could have stopped that play. No fucking problem.
Chychrun committed the offense behind Matthews and then went ahead of Matthews and scored the goal. Matthews just had to keep pace with Chychrun. That goal doesn't go in. It's like, I get it. That's a terrible call. Shouldn't happen. And I totally understand. Yep. Play should have been blown dead.
Yep. I haven't even seen this play, so I'm going to look it up while you guys are talking about it.
That terrible. Brady Treterno had a great angle on it.
Okay.
If that was McDavid who did that, oh my God, the media would be all over.
No one's brought this up.
But I get you don't like the call, but play till the whistle.
He takes his mouth guard out of his fucking mouth to yell at the ref. You can't yell with a mouth guard in.
Oh yeah. There's no defense on this one.
There is no coming back at all. Yeah. Like
Austin Matthews, Selke candidate, right?
He's such a good two-way player now.
Yeah, he takes the mouth guard
pulls
out,
it out, yelling. Puts it back. Like, go right. Pick a slide. Dude, if he just lays on his belly, he takes away that fucking pass.
Yep.
Yeah.
But no.
I love the concept that you've seen that. Well, there was an article posted on Oilers Nation there yesterday comparing a McDavid possible trade with Matthews. And it's,
that was so bad.
Well, Matthews overcome McDavid because of his two-way play. Like, what?
Yeah, that one Leafs reporter who was like, oh, the value's off.
Matthews is having a big year
and he's awesome. Like I do. Yeah,
he's great.
Great player.
I think he's the second best player in the NHL.
He's having a really good year right now. Connor's having a meh year right now.
Yeah.
Where are they in the points?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I also just last night, Alex Nedeljkovic. How do you say that name, Tom?
Nedeljkovic.
That goal that went in on him last night is a masterpiece.
Do you think that was worse than the Mrazek one?
Yeah, just because the Nedeljkovic one, it's like, bro, what were you even trying to do?
Yeah, he just takes a swing at it and pumps it right into his own net. I love it.
Between his own legs. Yeah, I just...
Shout out Nedeljkovic and Talbot for almost fighting last night, though. The refs broke that one
again,
up.
What the fuck are the refs doing?
Yeah, let them go.
Let them... And like literally, the referees got... They never get involved in their shit. They step back and they watch and they write shit down. They got...
Especially with like a melee going
on. Get the fuck out of the way and let the goalies go at it.
Back to Wednesday's game against the Capitals. I need to give Dan some runway here because his boy Brad Malone came out and got a big, big night. Brad Malone's assist on Cody Ceci's first period goal was his first NHL point since February 28th of 2016. Between points in the NHL, Malone played 280 AHL games between those points. Later in the third period, he scored a nice goal assisted by Zach Cassian. I want to talk about Cass too. That was his first goal since 2015. Dan, how happy were you?
Well, I mean, like I've always been a sucker for the underdog. And to me, Brad Malone is just one of those guys that, you know, one of the first things that I was able to do with The Nation writing articles was my prospect update. And he was just always one of those guys that showed up in that prospect update with a big game here or a big fight there. And he just kind of was always a leader on those Condor teams and on those younger teams, the AHL teams. And so for a guy like that to get his chance at 32 to be able to come up and make an impact in an NHL game, it's just, it's so exciting to watch. And it's such a cool reminder, I think, for us as fans who, when we get to watch a guy like Connor McDavid every night, you kind of forget the mystique and the fun that comes along with your first call-ups every time. And so for a guy like Brad Malone to work his butt off and get to this point and still be able to be effective, it's awesome to see.
Get back to this point.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Like it's one thing to get your shot and, you know, it kind of like dips away and you go back to being an NHL, but he was able to pick his socks up, keep battling away, take a couple of AHL contracts and work his way back in.
That's a great point.
The only thing is with this guy, and I love the fact he can score and do what he's doing, is we've been fed the Brad Malones for, this is 2022 right now, since 1992.
100%.
He is
a prototypical, he's like stereotypical 90s guy where he's just hard working, all effort, not a ton of skill there, just always put his nose to the ground.
Who was the right-handed shot that came up? He had the big beard there. He came up a couple of years. No. Right-handed shot. Is kind of like maybe a bit of a like a blondie hair. And I think he's from the Maritimes too.
Oh, Josh Curry.
There you go. He just kind of falls into this same thing, right? And I'm sure Curry scored us a goal or something. I love it.
I love the story.
But I can't wait till he's not in the lineup anymore because that means Nuge is back. That means Yes is back.
Yep.
And yeah, I don't know. It's one other guy, but.
But it's just, it's so nice to have that guy that can just step in there. And then, like you said, step out again as soon as he's not needed anymore. And he's contributing when he's in there.
But he contributes when he's there. Yeah.
And to Brad Malone's credit also, he hasn't played a whole lot, but when he is, you notice him. He's throwing his body around out there.
I love that.
From Brad Malone. I also, his post-game interview, fantastic. He was like, well, this is awkward. That's how he started it off after the giving.
Do you think next year in like training camp, it's going to be like Oilers versus the Condors?
Maybe.
Right? Like, I mean, you think about it. We could almost be half Condors by this time next year, especially with the salary cap issues.
Especially if old Woody sticks around.
Please, please, please.
Why is that even an if, right, Bag Milk? I mean, I know you're not saying it like that. That's your opinion.
If they were to not make the playoffs and if they were to not play well, I would understand kind of thinking about it or looking at things. But
so
I just don't see that happening.
Jason Gregor just posted this article just now at OilersNation.com through in the Tippett era. Let's start there. So he was 23-18-3 when he was let go. The Oilers averaged 3.18 goals per game and allowed 3.31. I'm not a math guy and I'm not a scientist, but if you give up more than you get, chances are you're losing games. Woodcroft, however, he is in 14 games now. They are scoring 3.28 goals per game and allowing only 2.85. So at 5-on-5, the play has improved incredibly. Special teams, problem. With Woodcroft, the power play is only 18.4%, whereas under Tippett, it was 27.6%. Now, I don't think that's Woodcroft is the problem.
No, the power play took a dip well before Woody got here. Exactly. So that's not really fair.
That's not really fair. But unfortunately, it is his problem.
Yes.
My thought is, with the way he has the boys playing at 5-on-5, if they can turn the power play around and the penalty kill for that matter, We're golden here, boys.
I don't think Woody has, or any coach has anything to do with this, making this power play better. I think it has to do with the 10 guys on there with the skates on the ice.
100%.
It's up to them. I mean, when they're not playing well, you see bad passes trying to go side to side. When they're playing better, they're all moving in short little passes. They're moving it quick. It's on the players. It's on the guys with the skates on their feet right now. They're the ones who need to get them out of this.
And that's what I mean. Like, if they turn that shit around,
I got no problems. They turn that shit around.
I got no problems.
And that's exactly why I think they're maybe due for a little bit of a heater here, is because I believe it's a when they turn it around on the power play front. You're going to get a 15 game run right away where they operate at 40%.
There's almost not 15 games left. I understand what you're saying, but I feel coming. Like we're running
out of, it's coming.
We're running,
there's time.
Well, you might as well have that bridge into the playoffs.
I've been saying it's coming for weeks.
I got to give a shout out to our friends at Cornerstone Insurance. If you go to cornerstoneins.ca, you will find out all the information that you could ever hope to know about insurance. They've also got the products you need to make sure your life is covered. Auto, residential, commercial, life insurance, whatever you need, they've got it. If you click on the About button, there's the story. For 90 years and four generations, Cornerstone has been a family and employee-owned business here in Edmonton. Citizens of the nation also get a discount on your insurance. Go to cornerstoneins.ca. Another couple of things I want to mention. Zach Cassian came back against the Capitals wearing the full cage, obviously broken jaw. Makes sense. I was worried about Cassian in his first game back because here's my thinking. Hockey is a contact sport. Jaw still sore. I was worried about him being a little bit tentative. That's not what we got from him. He was throwing his body around.
So he said today it wasn't his jaw. It was like his cheek and orbital bone.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It doesn't really change things to me.
No,
like, it might, like, your breathing might be a little bit different because you can move your mouth a little bit nicer, but I expected, you've seen a lot of players come back from an injury like this and be a little tentative, especially a guy like him who's, you know, supposed to be physical all the time, or like, that's kind of what we would like. And he's avoided it over the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. So to see him come out and like try and hit somebody in the first couple of shifts.
It's awesome.
Was fantastic. If we can get that type of a player, and you know, all we need out of him is like 10, 12 minutes of game.
Yeah. Play got a nice assist line. on Bradley.
Great assist on that goal.
Yeah.
Greatest. I mean, the dude can play when he wants to play. The dude can play. Mm-hmm. He can play offense. He can play. So it's up to him. We need him to fucking get his game going.
I agree. Another little bit of news that came out today is we could have an old friend coming back into the lineup tomorrow. Tyler, I'm going to start with you. What are your thoughts on Josh Archibald potentially being available tomorrow against Tampa?
I mean, he'll help out on the penalty kill. He'll give you good energy in the bottom six as long as his conditioning is up. I think you play the wheels off him for the next four games here on the homestand, and you hope someone gives you a fifth round pick on Monday the 21st at the deadline. You trade him.
Dan?
Yeah, I'm right there with Tyler. I have questions about conditioning just because it's been such a long time since between playing NHL games. But
yeah, it's not exactly easy to come back. We saw 58 games into the season.
We watch it with Evander.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's true. And yeah, I hope he proves me wrong on that doubt. But yeah, exactly what Tyler said too. Build up your value, and we will send you to an American team at the deadline.
I don't think they trade him. Like, is his contract up this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's okay. I don't think they re-sign him, but I think they hold on to him. You've got whatever, 24 games left. I think 12 are in Canada. If he plays those, then someone else can play the road games. It eases up on minutes for him. And I get it. This is not what I would do, I don't think, but I kind of get this is what I think they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And I think you hold on to him. In an Edmonton Calgary series, he can play all the games, and I think he's inside your top 12 forwards.
Yeah, you know? It doesn't matter who comes out for
at where he was before this yes all happened. Then
even,
yes,
even because we've seen this team go 11-7. So if he's in your 12, and then you go down to whatever a tour through the West, and you go back to 11-7. And then you come back and you play him. I get it. It's not the greatest. But you've got a player here who's better than some of the forwards in the top 12 right now. And I think you have to utilize him. Is a fifth round. Yeah. Like, I think you have to utilize him, and I think they will. So I think he walks away at the summertime, but I think if he, as long as he looks okay, they're going to keep him.
But like, hear me out. Right now, the way your kind of forward group is constructed with everyone healthy, you're going to run, I just lost the lines. Here we go. McDavid, Kane, Yamamoto, McLeod, Draisaitl, Hyman. Okay. Let's say Puljujarvi slides back up into the top six. On your third line, you're going to have like Nuge, McLeod, and Fogel. Your fourth line, you're going to have Derek Ryan stays in the lineup. Cassian stays in the lineup as well.
Or you go back to Nuge, Fogle, Ryan, because that line was...
Sure. You go to Nuge, Fogle, Ryan. Then your fourth line is Shore with Cassian and who on the left side? Maybe it's Holloway. Maybe you, but you only have one other spot there. Maybe it's Archibald. If you can trade Archibald and get like a fifth rounder for him.
It's another bullet in the gun, really, is what it is.
Maybe, and maybe you can go flip and get a bottom six guy who can play center. What if you could flip Archibald for a pick and then flip that pick for an upgrade on Devin Shore?
Yeah.
That helps you, right?
Do you believe in the GM of doing that?
That's just a whole nother conversation. Though.
Fair.
We're going to talk about how much I believe in the GM, let's not talk trade deadline at all.
All right.
Like you look at the 12 right now, and sorry, but I'd like to see Malone come out just because we have better players ahead of him. I'd like to see Shore.
How dare you?
I know. I'd like to see Shore come out because we have better players ahead of him. At that point, who do you have to put in over Arch or Cassian?
Well, it also depends too if the coach wants to go 11-7.
So I was listening to the radio, and I Nima Laine has to play a certain amount of games before he's waiver eligible. Mm-hmm. So they may actually not bring him up anymore this year because of a certain amount of games and a certain amount of games next year, and just that stupid waiver eligibility type of stuff. Nima may have played his last game here this year.
That'd be a bummer. Just signed a 2-year contract worth $762 million.
And he went down. Yeah. And he's about to have a baby.
Good for him.
But Broberg,
and Broberg,
he's playing good.
Well. I was a little bit worried about him, but he keeps getting better every game. When they gave him that power play time there 2 or 3 games ago, whatever the hell it was, and he kind of coughed up the puck a little bit, I was getting a little worried. But that last game, he looked really good.
Looked really, really good.
How has Lagesson looked for you, Tyler?
I'll tell you one thing. When he only plays 8.5 minutes and they go to 60, it is a whole lot more noticeable than when they're playing 7. I'll tell you that much. Mm-hmm.
Lagesson didn't play last game, did he? We went 60.
Yo, he played.
He played.
Oh, I guess he was in the for Barry.
Yep.
So I think Barry's back.
Yeah, Barry will be back. And they got some interesting roster moves.
Lagesson's going to be out.
I think so, yeah.
But Russell's going to be available. I don't see him making the lineup.
Yeah, I wonder if they don't start playing him over Broberg. Not that I would, because I think Broberg's been good, but a Broberg Barry third pairing, that's a defensive liability and a guy with not a lot of experience.
Yep.
It's a little concerning.
How about a Broberg?
A BB gun to the head.
How about a Broberg Russell third pairing?
I like a Broberg Russell third pairing, actually. I like Broberg Russell more than I like Broberg Barry.
You like Russell over Barry, essentially what we're getting at.
Because you don't need Barry.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, it's time to answer some questions. Our friends at Buster's Pizza, Ask the Idiots. You have submitted questions throughout the week. There was a lot that came in this week, so I'm going to try to burn through these quickly. If I did not sneak you into the episode, I apologize. I just got a lot, and we are already running long, and I can sense Tyler's frustration bubbling under.
Why? No, I'm not frustrated. I'm having a good time.
Okay. Buster'sPizza.ca. Find a location near you. I guarantee there is one. Go get yourself something to eat. It's Friday, whether you want some za, maybe a donair. Maybe you submitted a Ask the Idiots question and you've got a gift card coming your way for some free pizza. Tyler, who doesn't love free pizza?
I love free pizza. It's not a good button to hit.
That was the wrong button.
Yep.
They can't always be winners.
Fair.
Ask the Idiots, gentlemen. Dan, I'm going to start with you. Again, these boys have not seen these questions before. And I'm going to take this one out, to be honest. Okay. Dan. Considering the last half of the Oilers' schedule this season has some tough opponents, Avs 3 times, Preds, Caps, Penguins, Wild, Tampa, and taking into account we can't win with Smith in net, it's not that hard to see a world where the Oilers miss the playoffs. Do you agree or disagree?
I don't see that world. I refuse to acknowledge that world. There is a world that exists where the Oilers don't make the playoffs. But I'm not allowing it into my world. So no.
Rick?
No.
Tyler?
There's like a 40% chance they miss the playoffs. So yeah.
Oh, here goes math, man.
Yeah, fucking Tyler's math.
Number munchers over here.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say I also am living in a beautiful world of denial. So no, this world does not exist to me.
No.
All right.
Question number 2, Tyler, I'm starting with you. Is it time for the Oilers to empty the bank, pay whatever price the Coyotes want for Chychrun, and try to ensure they make the playoffs? They need either a new superstar goaltender, which isn't going to happen, or a bolstered defense to help stop the hemorrhaging weak goals against. Is it time to empty the clip for a guy like Chychrun?
So emptying the clip, if you want to get a deal done, is probably like Broberg, a first, and another piece. That's a lot to give up. Mm-hmm. Need to be sold on Chychrun being the guy, but I think I am.
What's the other piece?
Lavoie back something. Yeah. I make that deal.
Yeah, I think today. I probably do too. Cause I want to win today. Yeah. They got to take Barry back in the deal too, to make the money work obviously. And you know, maybe you even convince him to throw in like a Carol Vemelka too. Maybe get a goalie in this mix. Never know.
Rick, you making that deal? Or are you making a deal to go all in on a guy like Chychrun?
Yeah. I don't think that guarantees you anything.
No. Ain't no guarantees in the lockdown.
I'm making that deal. Lavoie, Broberg, and a first for Chychrun. Yeah, I'll make that right now.
I would too. Dan, thoughts?
Well, if you set the parameters as that deal that Tyler laid out, I'm making the deal, but I don't know if I'd go much further than that. Like it's one of those things where, you know, you got to make sure that you're getting the value for a guy that you're comfortable with.
I can't create another hole. So you can't take like a roster spot from a forward.
Yeah.
So to unload the bag, I wouldn't, but I would go pretty high on it.
Last week's eyebrow or toe question has inspired some different ones this week, and I'm excited about them.
I almost forgot about
them. Rick, I'm going to start with you. Which Oilers skater do you believe would be the best goaltender?
Oh, that's easy. Chris Russell.
That's my answer too. So Chris Russell times two. Tyler?
I feel the need to get different on this one.
I mean, he already has the saves.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go to
it. He's leading the way. He's got them silver shin pads.
He does, and that makes a ton of sense. Who else would be a good goalie? Pure size wise, maybe Niemelainen, you know?
Yeah, big guy.
Like just like big, that, tall like goaltender.
That, Mikko, that you like when Mikko goes, puts his like heels on each post.
Yeah. So I'll go Niemelainen.
Dan?
I was trying to be all kinds of clever with it, but I'll just go with Josh Archibald. Because that way we don't take up a thing.
What about Cody Ceci? He low key thick. He could play goal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got something you want to say?
Nope.
All right. Rick, next question. Hasiatis is for Buster's Pizza. Should the NHL change the names of their awards to more recent players?
No, I'm a purist. I guess there's a time in which you do that. No, I can't think of one yet though.
Tyler.
No, but you add two new ones. You add like the Bobby Orr Award for the best offensive defenseman. And then there's the best defensive defenseman for the Norris. Nice, and then you add the Wayne Gretzky trophy for most assists in a season.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, that's fine.
A couple of basic pieces of hardware.
Dan, are you changing the name of the NHL awards?
I've kind of gone back and forth on that. Like, I'm not a big fan of like the Mark Messier Award myself, even.
Wow.
I don't know. It's such a stance to put a player's name on something and say that they stand for that example of it.
But like,
to me, a better leader is Steve Yzerman than Mark Messier, in my opinion.
Why?
And so it just kind of creates a debate by attaching a name to the
award. I only remember Messier as a Canuck.
greatest Canuck ever.
Yeah, greatest Canuck ever.
But they were lucky. But like, do you understand, or does anybody else feel that way? Where it's just like, if you attach a name to it, it really connects them to it. Whereas it should be about the thing that it is. Like to me, Lidstrom should not be named after the award that he won more than most people did in that entire decade or two.
Yeah, Rocket Richard.
Yeah, like, but that's the nice part about the history of the awards right now is that for the younger generation, the names don't mean as much, right? Like the Rocket Richard is, you know,
new.
The Rocket, it's new, but it's the Rocket Richard Award. And that's like the younger fans don't associate it with the kind of player Maurice Rocket Richard was in a way, right? You get what I'm saying? Like the Norris Trophy. No young fan knows who James Norris was. They just know that's the award for the thing, right? Like they've almost taken on a life of their own in a way.
Oh yeah. No, I thought it was Jack Norris for a second there. Oops, sorry.
No, Jack's the coach.
Yep. Idiot. I'm an idiot. Sorry.
Jack Morris, the MLB pitcher.
Honestly, Tyler, that's where my brain went to.
Just to wrap it up, I don't care about the names of the awards. So call them whatever you want.
Just give us the big one.
Yeah.
Stanley.
Yeah. I don't care about what the rest of them are called. Next question, ask the idiots. Okay, you got a multiple choice now. Tyler, are you ready?
I struggle with these. Where's my Scantron?
Okay. Would you rather be A, the Oilers GM for 1 year and make any trades moves you want?
That's juicy.
B, the head of NHL officiating so that you can either discipline referees or change the rules entirely.
No.
C, operate a t-shirt cannon at Rogers Place for the rest of your life.
Oh, fuck. You said the GM.
I'm sorry. One. I missed A, Bagmilk.
A was you are the Oilers GM for 1 year only and you make any trades moves you want. Oh.
So you said the GM one and I was like, how are you going to come up with something that could possibly be better than that? But those t-shirt guns look fun as hell.
Yeah, they do. And you get to do it forever.
Forever.
And the GM's just for a
just year. Just 1 year. You got 12 months.
I'm taking the GM job.
How long is the refereeing thing?
That is also... there's no timeline on that one. So that's just your...
There's no way you're like... Oh, who gives a fuck?
I'm doing that for sure, Tyler.
What?
Why? I want to be the guy that's in the ear of every referee ever forever.
But there's no like recourse. You're like, yeah, you're terrible. However, I can't go and fire your ass because nobody else can get behind you.
That's a good point.
Well, that's I guess I assumed the role meant
and
that
then
I
we're going to be yelling fire at, and fire. We're going to be yelling at we're going to be yelling at Dan because Ovechkin's hooking Hyman.
Yeah.
And I would love
Dan,
that.
Dan, why can't your linesman figure out what a fucking offside is?
Yeah, I don't want that pressure.
I also think if you take the GM one, you'd come back with a lot better perspective. For me, at least, when I criticize the moves.
I would love the
Everybody
GM.
Everybody would be
job.
Like, you could make this deal. And Tyler would be like, no, you couldn't.
I'd love to still do this podcast, though.
But t-shirt guy, you got to like work during the game. You can't really watch. There's no time for beer during the game.
I'm a t-shirt guy. I'm going to blast you with that fucking thing. The rest of my life.
I love that
80-year-old bag milk firing cannons out there.
If anyone has access to one, can we have it?
From row 10 across the ice at the visitor bench.
Yep.
Like I am picking these guys off one by one.
If you're walking up the stairs and I'm operating,
days.
Yeah, if you're walking up the stairs and I'm operating that cannon, I am shooting at you.
That's true.
So I'm going to go.
Aiming for your nachos.
100%. That's my move with my new t-shirt cannon gig. I will be accepting the paycheck for it. And I will also have a good time. All right.
Great question.
This is another good question, Dan. So I'm going to start with you. With the movie The Batman coming out last week, who has been the best Batman? I'm not talking about best movie. Who is the best Batman?
Adam West. It's Adam West. I mean, he made it fun. He's the guy that I always grew up watching as Batman. He's the Batman to me.
When? Where did you watch Adam West as Batman?
Buddy, I'm old.
I know you're older than me.
But I know. I just realized that as I said it. But yeah, I don't know. I was always able to watch them.
Same bat time, after school.
Same bat channel.
Yep.
So that was always an old saying. The only reason I get a feel for Adam West as Batman is because of Family Guy.
Yeah.
He was great on Family Guy.
Otherwise, there's only two guys to pick from. Okay. And that's Bale and the OG Keaton.
Yep.
However, the correct answer is Bruce Wayne. He's the only Batman.
That is true. He is the only Batman. But who's the best actor as Batman?
Keaton.
I too am going to jump in. Michael Keaton. I don't think he was the best Bruce Wayne. I think there could have been a better Bruce Wayne. But as far as a Batman, I thought he was a great Batman.
Is he not coming back too? Are they not doing another one with him as Batman?
I don't know. Are they?
Into the Batverse?
I don't know what that means.
Tyler, you're the youngest one on this one. Who is the best Batman?
Tyler doesn't know who Adam West is.
I do, because I know him from Family Guy.
I told you that's the only reason I know West is because Family Guy.
Ready for the most Yeremchuk answer ever?
Yeah. Is it George Val Kilmer? Clooney. Say Val Kilmer.
George Clooney.
I've never seen a Batman movie.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
What the hell is going on?
Not one.
There's no way. Not one Batman.
I've never seen a superhero movie.
You've never seen any of the Marvels?
No.
The Dark Knight isn't a superhero.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio.
It's over.
We're ending the show right there.
And I thought
Dark Knight is not a movie. It's an experience.
Dark Knight's awesome.
I can say some of these things because sci-fi, like I've never seen like a Star Wars or a Star Trek.
I've seen the Star Wars actually.
Even those little Hobbit guys. I have never seen any of those or Harry Potter. None of that
I've seen Harry Potter.
None of that stuff. But I just, of all the Marvel movies, you haven't seen one. There's like 612.
This is shocking that you've never seen a single Batman.
Yep.
I don't even know that's possible.
Wow. I'm rattled.
I'm not even a big movie guy.
I'm not a big movie guy, like at all, clearly.
I'm rattled. Yeah, sorry, I think this is going to be devastating news when people find this out. When they listen to this and they hear no Batman.
This is not going to help my image problem.
We've as a company have failed over COVID because we knew you had a movie issue.
Yes, we did.
At the very beginning of COVID. And it was supposed to be a thing like you're going to watch a good movie every week or something like that. And we let it go away.
Yep.
We had all this time on our hands.
Yeah.
He was avoiding the grind. And here we are.
They just don't doesn't do it for me.
See, those ones, like I said, I'm not a big movie guy, but those ones are, I have of the so first two, the Keatons.
I should.
Yeah, like the one with Heath Ledger is so fucking good.
I know. And I believe I would like it. It's just a matter of me sitting down and watching it.
Even the Tom Hardy one, the third one's awesome too.
I'm just curious, Tyler, my stepkids have the same kind of feeling as you, where they don't like old movies, but they say it's because of like the graininess of the film. Is that your issue too? Like, is it the quality of the film or is it just the fact that it's old and you know it?
No, it's not even the fact it's old. It's just the fact I'm not I'm trying to think of the last time I sat down and watched a movie and like, I honestly couldn't tell you.
Got it. Interesting.
What do you turn on when you're
Throw on sports or what?
You're having a nap on a Saturday afternoon.
I always have movies on in the background.
So I'll throw
always something on.
I throw on sports and before bed, I have like a handful of TV shows I like cycling through. So I just watch an episode of like an old sitcom, fall asleep to that.
I dig it.
Okay.
I understand, where you're coming from because the half an hour shows, I'm about it. It just feels good. Just turn it on. It is what it is. Yeah. And it feels like a movie is such a long.
And I feel like commitment. With a movie, I need. So like for me, if I'm sitting there and just trying to relax before bed, same episode of Seinfeld I've seen 8 times. Just throw it on. If I fall asleep, I don't care. Yeah. I feel like with a movie, if I turn it on, either A, I need to invest in it, or B, I'm going to get invested in and stay up for 2 hours.
Yeah, well, that's just it. You have to watch the movie.
Yeah.
Like there's channels like AMC where they play a lot of movies that I love movies. So I throw that on all the time because if Gone in 60 Seconds is on,
good one.
I've seen that movie so many times that I could just look and be like, oh yeah, this part's fun. Like I don't have to feel fully invested in it.
See, like I turn on Jaws, I'm screwed. I have to watch it. Yeah. Like I know everything is going to happen. I've seen it all and you've got to watch
one movie, Tyler. I feel like you'll like this. If I see it's on TV, I will watch it all the way through, which is a massive investment, is Titanic.
Oh, I was going to say Shawshank.
Shawshank always.
I've never seen Titanic.
A documentary, Bag Milk.
Yes. Titanic. Shout out to Chris the intern.
But Tyler, I had a question for you. How many times have you been in a movie theater then? In your life?
In my life? Like a good amount of times. Like I've gone and seen movies. Like I really enjoyed Knives Out. That was a good one.
I couldn't even tell you the last time I went to a movie.
But yeah, I haven't gone since COVID. And before then, I would like, and my girlfriend's not a big movie fan either. So that's probably why we don't. But like, that's I'd say we'd go every 6 to 8 months is how often I'd see a movie.
I can go a couple of years.
Yeah. Doesn't do it for me either. Sitting in a theater.
Last time I went to a theater was to see Avengers Endgame. Just because I wanted to be part of what everybody was talking about. And I had seen so few of the movies leading up to that one that I didn't know who anybody was.
Who's that guy?
I was like, hey, Iron Man, I know you. All right. Last question. I feel like arguably the most important one. We've got a trip coming up to Calgary at the end of this month. BacksideTours.com. Go check it out. Get your spot. We are over half sold already. So if you're waiting, you're going to miss. Now,
don't miss.
This is the important question. All three of you I have roomed with at one point or another. This question comes in from Aaron. Why are you the ideal roommate for Bag Milk on a nation vacation? Tyler?
I keep it light. I'm very clean and respectful. And I think sometimes, I think I'm good with you, Bag Milk, of walking the line of partying hard.
Yeah.
But also just making sure you don't stray too far the other way. Like when you were yelling into the cone and Jasper and the neighbors were yelling and I had to, calm everything down. So,
as far as I know, that didn't happen.
Oh yeah. But I think I walked the line of partying hard and being responsible.
So you're trying to keep him on the line that you got the leash and your sleeves.
Yeah.
Keep him right on the line though.
Yeah. I guess
that's what it sounds like.
I think that's why I'm good.
Rick, we've been roommates a bunch of times.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's there's multiple reasons or multiple things here. One, liquor.
Yeah, of course.
Science.
Mm-hmm.
I'm patient, so when I get I come back with my my quesadilla at 2:30 in the morning, and I go to open the door, and the door handle opens, but then it only opens half inch because the latch is there. You try and bang on the door a little bit, and a bit of nothing. Well, I just sat down and ate my quesadilla, and then somehow you woke up.
Yeah.
It was really well patient.
That's a hell of a story.
Yeah, and I just ate it in the hallway.
What was the science part about, though?
It's science.
Science, yeah. We appreciate science. Yeah. Also, Rick is always really good as my roommate when it's the end of the night. He makes me have water, gives me an Advil.
And, I was going to say that I'm very prepped for the one rule that we have for nation trips.
Yes. Yeah.
One before 10,
mm-hmm.
10 before one.
Always.
If you're smart, you make sure your room is Gatorade,
mm-hmm.
a couple small things of vodka, even though they're going to call you out and say you guys didn't drink it.
Yeah,
we did drink it.
We did.
It's still a fucking issue. But it was way better than the previous time there when we had to go find like those little bottles of Fireball
yeah.
at like 9:58 or something like that. Yeah, you just try and drink out of the, I can't drink out of those things, man. I know it's only an ounce, but it takes like an hour to pour in your, it's terrible. So yeah, you need to be ready for 10 before one or one before 10.
So I think that Rick's answer, Tyler, is that he also cares for me, but in a different way.
Yep. Fair enough.
True.
Dan, we've only been roommates once that I can remember on a trip. Yes. And if I remember correctly, I brought a bunch of people back to our room at like 3 a.m. and it was not the most sure welcomed addition to your sleep. Why would you be the ideal roommate for Bag Milk?
Well, I see, I don't know if I am, because I'm always the dad on the trips, because I yes, can never, are. I can never really check out of a trip just because of the travel element. And then second of all, whoa, nice zoom in, Tyler, on the camera there. But I'm often find myself back in the room earlier than you, because I have to clip hockey fights.
Yep.
And so I was dead to the world when you brought all your friends back. So I guess the advantage was I was just laying in the mattress and people were laying on top of me and it didn't bother me one bit.
He goes to the room early so he can get a good sleep, so he can be there for the first set of horses in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't lie to anybody. We know damn well what you're doing in the morning.
Yeah, those ponies don't work for nobody.
Dan's got a pocket full of bills.
Yep.
He's got his
and
horses.
And a laptop at hand.
Oh, he's got his pamphlet and he's thrown down some cheddar. 8:30 in the morning races.
We have an intimate relationship. It's true.
I'm going to do the little spinning machine, because we got to give out a gift card for somebody that submitted a question again.
Oh, Bag Milk. Remember last week we said we were going to start picking our winners.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's true. Let's vote on it. So just to recap, boys, looking at the schedule, will the Oilers miss the playoffs? I'm just eliminating that one from contention. How's that?
It's a terrible island to have to think of.
Put it in the garbage can.
Yep, gone.
Empty your garbage can.
So these are the options, boys, that we're going to vote on. Best skater to be attendee. Should the NHL change the name of the awards? The multiple choice, where you're the GM, the officiating guy, or the t-shirt cannon guy. Best Batman. Ideal roommate for Bag Milk. Those are your five options.
Multiple choice.
I vote roommate one.
Tyler gets roommate one.
Multiple choice.
Rick says multiple choice. Dan?
I got to go with Rick on the multiple choice. The GM question was really good.
I will also do that one, because I won't be selfish. Otherwise, I'm just creating another tie and we got a problem. So congratulations.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Do you think it's the same price for like four, maybe three double rooms as it is for like a suite?
That's a good question. Because when we were roommates to Calgary last year.
Oh yeah. We had a suite.
But we had a suite.
We're staying in the same place.
Oh, we could all be roommates.
Yeah, we could.
We should be looking into this. So like for Vegas next year,
yeah.
I'm just assuming we're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone gets a room or whatever. And then we'll set up like a suite where, you know, like four or five or six of us get to go in it.
That'd be fun.
We could have a watch party there.
Or it'd be a disaster.
It would be the Hangover 4.
Hangover 4. You're going to have a watch party at the bar somewhere.
Sometimes I don't watch.
Maybe do you think they have TVs at CVS's?
No,
we could have like $4.50
Oiler fans in a CVS.
$4.56 for a tall boy. That is great
value.
Tyler, great value.
Get your buttons ready. Okay. We're going to wrap up this here podcast with another edition of Hot Cold Performers. Unsponsored right now. If you want to be the sponsor of Hot Cold Performers, hit me up.
You own a local business, hit us up.
Or if you just want to give us money.
If you're a listener and you have a, you know,
like if you want, if it's Ted's Hot and Cold Performers, that's fine. I'm good.
And we'll just promote whatever you want.
You got some like dollars you need to kind of try and hide. I mean, we know time. It's tax.
Are
time
you looking to embezzle money?
Well, not embezzle, but maybe like
if you forget it outside and we'll find it. Like, I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
If you accidentally drop a bag full of cash in a garbage can.
We have some boxes we can hide them in up here.
Yeah. Yep.
Lots of boxes. All right.
As we do every week, we start off with our veggies, looking at the last 7 days of our lives. Maybe things that didn't go so well. Tyler, I'm starting off with you, your cold performer of the week.
This was going to be my hot performer, but then I came up with another hot performer. So I'm finding a way to flip it into my cold performer. I'm very happy Major League Baseball is back and that we're going to get a full 162 game season. But during the lockout, we were told that as soon as this CBA was signed, that it was going to be mayhem transaction-wise. Free agents, big names, huge trades, all this stuff. And it has been 24 hours since the CBA was signed, and we still haven't seen all these big moves. So my cold performer goes to the GMs for not giving me what I want, and that is lots of big trades early in the MLB season.
What the hell is going on?
Tyler, you know that I'm going to be... Last year, I watched about, I'd say, 60 Jays games. Mm-hmm. I'm committing to more this year. Are we going to have a fun year, Tyler?
Yes. It's going to be a really good year. And they're not done yet. They're going to do something big.
They're going to get a big name.
They are. Like
Rick, you're a cold performer of the week.
Well, you know what? I did it last week, but they're doing it again. And it's all around the league. And it's being called out, but nothing's ever being done about it. And it's guys with the orange stripes on their arms and guys without the orange stripes on their arms. But as long as they're wearing vertical zebras... These guys need to figure their shit out. It's not just an Oilers thing. We watched with Matthews last night. So let's not even put it on those guys. It's on the guys in upstairs in the suits who are refusing to fix this and not do a damn thing about the officiating and the linesman crew. You're making a mockery of this league. You're ruining games. And you're pissing all of us off. So to go out and fix this officiating issue.
It's been up and down. Like a toilet seat, really.
I haven't seen any ups. Mostly downs. Nation Dan, your cold performer of the week.
The ups are all the offside. Mm-hmm.
Well, my cold performer of the week is going to be a selfish one because it's given me a lot of frustration and stress this week. It's going to go out to Instagram for giving hockey fights a soft block for posting a fight. That's all I got. Instagram, you're my cold performer of the week.
You're as cold as ice.
Leave us alone, Zuckerberg. My cold performer of the week is Tyler, and I'm going to tell you why.
What the fuck?
I like this.
Tyler gets my cold performer because I gave him an opportunity to acknowledge his admiration for Cody Ceci earlier in the podcast, and he refused to do it.
It's true.
I said he thick.
You did say he thick, but why did you say that?
Because there was a picture of him with no shirt on Twitter, and I was like, hey, damn, he looks good.
You said you would be okay, or at least understanding, if your missus left you for Cody Ceci.
Financially, it would be a good move for her.
Let's see your abs.
Yes, it would.
They are not on Cody Ceci's level.
Uh-huh. So there's my cold performer of the week. It's Tyler.
Are you thrilled? I'm not.
Financially, it would be a much better choice. I promise you that. All right. Let's end off the week with some bright sides, like some good news. So I'm going to start it off because I'm selfish. Hot performer of the week for me, Jeremy Kuppel. The hero Fantastic. This city needs. If you Good don't Lord. Know the name, he is the Oilers video coach. And the reason that they have had what? Three? Four?
Yeah, three in the last couple of games.
Three goals called back in the last couple of games because our man is on top of that blue line in a way we have never seen before. Jeremy Kuppel, hot performer of the week.
He's a hot guy.
I'm going to hop in too and just say he was my hot performer as well. This guy is seeing offsides before they even fucking happen. He's an absolute machine.
Rick and I were talking about that before we started recording. What do you think the process is? Do you think when the boys cross the blue line, he's already on the iPad looking at it and just ignoring what's going on in the zone?
I think he's absolutely dialed into the zone entries. And I think there's probably a team element. There's probably more than just him, but I bet you there's him and someone else, and they have the ability to dial back replays in like a quick broadcast like fashion.
How angry do you think he gets when he sees one and he's like, yeah, this is offside. And then someone makes a big save and he's like, that was my fucking time to shine, you guys. What the?
He just elbows Woodcroft. He's like, I would have had you on that one, Woody.
Yeah. But I love when they score and you see the coaches with their little mic thing and they're like, oh, hello. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. We're challenging it.
Yeah.
And I just imagine.
Go ahead.
I imagine him kind of similar thing. Like a goal gets scored and he knows it because maybe him and his partner have already seen that it's an offside and they're standing up like fist fighting me like, fuck yeah, we got him. Woo.
The only home team guys cheering when the other team scores. Like, yeah.
Challenge that shit, Woody.
I just like to see some more drama in it when he's going to challenge one. Maybe lower him from the rafters. That's what I'd like to see.
Or actually put him on the big screen at Rogers, like ISO cam and have like the coop cam.
The more he does this, the more Oilers fans will get on board with that.
Yeah.
If we have a coop cam, everybody's into it.
Sportsnet would be wise to cut to Woodcroft and his staff right after the other team scores, though, because you're right. That's the first indication you're going to see that there's a call from upstairs is if Woodcroft goes to the ear, then you can just start to build up that intrigue. Like, oh, hold on, everybody.
Dan, your hot performer of the week.
Well, I think this is a pretty well a given here. He was selected in the fourth round in 2007 by the Colorado Avalanche, 105th overall, but he ended up being number one in every Oiler fan's heart last night after being able to single-handedly beat the Washington. No, he had a great game. It's fun to watch. And like Rick said, I'm excited for when he's not necessarily needed in the lineup anymore, but you are my hot performer of the week, Mr. Bradley Malone. Thank you very much.
I can't believe.
Rick, wrap it up. Hot performer of the week.
We're going to go to the big fella. I know he had got sent down to Baco this week, but he got sent down because he's having a baby. Mm-hmm. And he's about to have a baby. And then he got his 2-year contract. That's so we're going to give it to Markus Niemelainen. You guys, a big part of our future going forward, I believe. So it's nice to see him getting inked up.
This is why I'm hot. I'm hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you're not.
Last week, I asked you guys if you had a goal song. Did you have time to think about it over the last 7 days?
No.
Anybody? Tyler forgot.
Well, mine. I already picked mine last week. Glorious. The yep. entry song yep. for one Bobby Roode in the WWE.
Rick, you got one?
Yeah. So, and I don't know how long do we keep him for? A couple of weeks? Do you roll it all season with it? Or do you want to swap it up?
Maybe you swap it up.
I think for the first one, just namesake, we'll go Ric Flair Drip.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, I like that one.
I like yeah. that. All right. And with that, we are going to wrap up episode 183 of Oilers Nation Radio. Shout out to DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Cornerstone Insurance, and Buster's Pizza for making it all possible. And most importantly, all of you. You listen. That's why we're here. That's why we get to chat. And that's why I get to look at Tyler. So for all of you and for all of us, I say thank you. Have a great weekend. Big, big, big week.
Let's go, Oilers.
Here for the Oilers. Last thing before you touch that button, Tyler, score prediction for tomorrow's game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. 4-2 win.
4-2 win.
Dan?
I'm going to say 4-3 overtime loss.
Rick.
5-2 W.
There you go. Oilers Nation Radio episode 183 in the books. Tyler, you can push your button now.
Shout out.
Thanks for listening Brad to Malone. Oilers Nation Radio delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.